You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgi.
Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, same to you. How's everything?
It's swimmingly.
Yeah.
Was that okay to
say
that?
Saw the sun a little while ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it must be you.
I hope so. Yeah. We try to bring some sunshine here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. That's
right.
For sure.
That's right.
Well, I'm excited. You brought a friend today.
Yes. All right. This is going to be difficult to introduce this gentleman. This is something I've wanted to do for a very long time. But today I have with me a gentleman. His name is Charlie Pritchett. Okay. Today's segment is about aging well. You know, Jenna, there's this time after retirement. You know, you don't just plan for retirement. You plan for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, part of that is aging and how to age and, how to live your life. And I am telling you, Charlie Pritchett and his wife Sheila wrote the book, okay? This introduction is going to be difficult, but listeners today, please stay tuned. You're just not going to believe this gentleman and everything he and his wife Sheila have accomplished in their lifetime, and more importantly, since they retired, okay? Charlie and Sheila live at Azalea Trace. I hope I can share with our listeners where you live. They have been there over 20 years. Charlie and Sheila just started, get this, Jenna, mm-hmm. their 46th class at University of West Florida. All of these classes they've taken after they retired and after they moved to Azalea Trace. So every time I meet with Charlie and Sheila, I'm just fascinated. And they've got more going on than I do. They're just such an interesting life. But let me bring Charlie on now. But I want to talk about your background, Charlie. And by the way, Jenna, little competition here. He has been in radio broadcasting for really decades.
About 10 years.
Yeah,
wow.
And TV.
Right. Got his start in radio, actually in the Navy. Correct.
Yeah, that's right. After the war, I was in the Navy during World War II, and on board attack transport, and was in the Battle of Okinawa. That was the one big event that took place, and it was a very interesting event as I look back over the years and think of kamikazes and things like that. But when you're 18 years old, which is what I was, you don't have sense enough to be scared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's when you become 95 like I am now that you think, oh my Lord, what did I even get into?
Yeah. So, you know, Charlie's resume, he was also in Pearl Harbor in 1945, and then in the Battle of Okinawa. I mean, these are just amazing things. You were an executive, a TV guide. You worked at several radio stations in broadcasting. Where were these radio stations?
I guess the first one I was at was on the island of Kwajalein. Immediately after World War II, they needed radio operators, United Airlines did. And so I got this job as an air traffic controller on the island of Kwajalein. And so with plenty of time on my hands, I saw that there was a radio station. And I'd never been a radio announcer or anything like that. And so I went over and I volunteered. Well, as you can imagine, they liked volunteers because that meant that they had time off.
Exactly. The price is right. Yeah.
That was the first station. And then I came back to the States. I spent a year working on a license with the Federal Communications Commission that all engineers have, and I still have that particular license. Then after that, decided, well, I'd sort of like to be a radio announcer for good.
Right.
And I went to near my home, near Omaha, Nebraska, and got a job in Fremont, Nebraska, at a station called KORN. Corn, and at it
perfect.
I was not expecting that.
I love it. I love it.
At the end of 1 week, I asked the boss, "Well, now how much am I going to be making from now on?" He says, "Well, you'll get a raise in 29 months." And I think I was making $26.
$26 what? Per
plain $26. I was a radio announcer for this station.
But $26 per what?
Per week.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I quit.
Well, what are you complaining about, okay?
Yeah.
I quit on the spot. And so then I went to Omaha. And Omaha was when Johnny Carson, and we were announcers together, not at the same station, but he was so talented. We've all seen the Johnny Carson show, but to really get to know the guy, this fellow, it was really something.
Wow.
So you worked with Johnny Carson, and back in the day, can Johnny Carson also say that he made less than $4 a day?
He didn't have to worry, even okay. when that would have been 1948.
Wow.
He was just so good.
Yeah.
And then so I went to the station in the Omaha area, and I was there for a couple of years. And when you're in radio, generally when you're on vacation, you're looking for a job. And you mm-hmm. always want to go up and make more money.
Yeah.
So I did spend 2 years there, then went out to California and spent 5 years at a station similar to this one. Our call letters were 1360 on the dial, and this is 1330. And so I was there. And then the man I'd worked for in Omaha, he was building a TV station in St. Louis. And the FBI had called on him. Now, why would the FBI call on him? Well, it so happened at the same time I'd applied for a job with the Voice of America over in Thessalonica, Greece. And it really sounded like it'd be a good...
Well, that sounds like a good gig.
Yeah. And so he had written me, and he said, among other things, look, if you're looking for a job at some point, come back and join me in St. Louis as a sports director of the TV station. And so that's how I ended up in St. Louis.
Wow.
And in television. I'd never been on television before.
Wow, that is so cool.
Wow.
I mean, who are you? This is the coolest thing.
So this is the Dos Equis guy, okay? The most interesting man in the world.
Yes.
Right? We have him on the show today. But, you know, I thought it was interesting, Charlie, that you started in radio through the U.S. Navy, right? Mm-hmm. And thank you for your service
and your
time in Pearl Harbor and Okinawa. But you also had stints at MGM Studios. Let's see, TV Guide, you were an executive. And you were also a real estate agent. And what else am I reading here? Gosh. Oh, you were an air traffic controller for United Airlines.
And that was on the island of Kwajalein, and that was a fascinating job. I still think of it, and as a matter of fact, every time I even think of being an air traffic controller, I'm always sorry that I never went into it more. I wasn't a voice operator. I was a long-distance Morse code operator, because at that time they didn't have satellites and things like that. So when airplanes would leave, say, the West Coast, they were headed toward Japan, why, there were certain places that they would have to check in with as they're flying across the ocean.
Wow.
And that was really interesting too, because when George Marshall was named Secretary of State by President Truman, I knew it before he did, because I was on duty that night and just happened to be playing around with the dial, and I heard this beautiful code. And so anyway, I copied down everything, and much to my surprise, when I learned that I had the second most important man in the world that I was bringing in on my part of being air traffic controller. And wow. So it was things like that.
Was this a telegraph?
No, it was dots and dashes.
Okay.
International okay. Morse code.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
wow.
That was just one of the many things that was interesting. And we have a former air traffic controller out at Azalea Trace, and we compare notes and things like that.
Wow.
It was fun, but after a while I was there, I should say this. This is the only thing that what I'm about to tell you that I can't prove. Everything else I can prove what I've said.
You know what? I have a feeling everybody's going to believe this, so okay. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I'm now on Kwajalein.
And by the way, listeners, the island of Kwajalein is part of the Marshall Islands,
that
right?
That is correct.
Okay, I've got that
yeah.
in my notes here. So
that is correct. And during the time I was there, somehow or other, a piece of information came to me that Chiang Kai-shek of the Chinese at that time, this is 1946 now, that he was looking for radio operators. And he was paying $1,500 a month. Now, this is 46, so that's a lot of money.
Big money.
And so I enlisted in the Chinese Nationalist Air Corps.
Huh.
And I was just waiting, and nothing ever happened. And just nothing. And so as recently as about a year and a half ago, one of our professors at the University of West Florida, Charlie Song, we had him for sociology and sports. And I told him the story. I said, Charlie, what happened? I never heard from Chiang Kai-shek. Although I had written him fairly recently. And he told me what had happened was that Mao Zedong of the communists had run Chiang Kai-shek off of the mainland, off to Taiwan and so on and so forth.
Wow.
And so he said, when you had applied for that job, it was in great turmoil. And so I still wish I'd had the paperwork so I could prove it. But
how
it was
interesting. Yeah. I just don't know what to say. It's mind-boggling. Okay, so, you know, and we've got our expert. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. And, you know, you think about all of the things that, you know, that we cover on this show. And when we're talking about aging, you know, what do I know about that? Okay, you could write the book on it. And you know, so that's a question. Have you ever considered writing a book? Writing your memoirs?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. About 5-6 years ago, I did just that. The reason I did it, and I ended up with about 80 typewritten pages, by the way, single spaced, but I wanted we have 4 children, 3 boys and a girl, and I wanted them to know something about their parents.
Right.
Because I, having traveled around so much, I mean, I was always going someplace. Even when I was in school, in middle school, I would hitchhike from where I lived 50 miles to Omaha to go to the hockey games or to go to the big bands, mostly big bands. And
gosh.
So I knew nothing about my parents. I didn't know what kind of music they liked or anything. And so I sat down and I wrote this. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most interesting things I have ever done, and I would recommend it to anybody, even if they don't feel that they are writers.
Yeah. Are you talking about it was so valuable for you personally?
It enabled me to dig into my psyche just to see some of the things that I did, and I learned things about myself, most good, but some not so good.
Yeah.
And I found it very liberating, and I think anybody would. Now, I must insert, I've kept a daily diary since 1945, and so I have a suitcase filled.
Wow.
Okay, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
So
well, there's your book right there.
75 years of keeping your 75 times
365.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's a long.
And
long
frankly,
time.
I don't know what to do. Sheila and I have talked about it. I think I will probably burn them.
No.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I haven't yet. Let's put it that way. But I do recommend anybody, whether they think they can write or not, that doesn't make any difference. Even if it's just with a pen and pencil, sit down and just to start to write.
Right.
And you find so many things about yourself. That's the interesting part.
Okay. And for our listeners today, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Charlie Pritchett. Charlie's 95 years old, lives here in Pensacola, has done a lot of great things. He and his wife Sheila are taking their 46th class. All of these classes have been taken in retirement at University of West Florida. If you'd like to call and talk to Charlie, ask Charlie a question. We're talking about aging and how to age the right way. And, you know, certainly Charlie's helping us identify some of the things that, you know, you need to do, to age the right way, because certainly you have. I'm going to tell our listeners your age. You're 95 years old. 95 years old. And I wanted to share this with you, Jenna, and to our listeners. I told Charlie when I wanted him to come on the show. We had a conversation earlier in the week. He's also a client of mine. And he shared with me a couple of stories about, you know, what's going on and everything. And, you know, I asked him to come in, and I told him at the time, why don't I pick you and Sheila up at Azalea Trace? He says, no, we can drive. We can drive. Now, you know the weather we've had recently. So I spoke to Charlie earlier this morning, and I said I'd come pick him up. On the way over here, he's telling me about his four children. I'm asking how the children are doing. He's telling me his youngest has retired. Okay? Retired. And it just kind of blows my mind.
As a general.
As a general. As a general.
One-star general.
Yeah. As a general in the...
In the Air Force.
In the Air Force. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know that we have time to go into your four children, but very, very accomplished people. I always have the good fortune of hearing how they're doing and what their latest conquest is.
Well, we're very proud of all of them, and it's so nice to have children and that they don't have any problems that we know of. I'm sure that when they were going to college and things like that, there were a lot of things that went on that we didn't know about, but we didn't need to know about some of the things. But the interesting part about the one who is a general and who's retired now, actually just a couple months ago, that when she went to Ohio State, at the end of the sophomore year, while she came home for the summer, she said, she says, I think I'm going to have to take a few classes this summer. Got a little bit behind. She was trying to underplay it. Mm-hmm. And we started to ask her more questions. And so we said, Ellen, you can stay at Ohio State the rest of your life if you want to, but we're only paying for 12 quarters. Well, she did not like that, but she decided that she wanted to stay, and so she changed her major, and her GPA before that was like about a C-. And so she changed everything and went through and ended up 4 years later as a second lieutenant.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad that it was a daughter that gave you trouble. My trouble has been with the boys, okay?
Yeah, well, and ours is a little bit too.
Okay. But you know, you go through this, you know, this time where you're learning, figuring things out. Oftentimes, the first time you're truly on your own and accountable to only yourself is when you go off to college.
Yeah.
And, I learned that the hard way.
Well, that's why even right now, it's very interesting. Since UWF had to, over the last year or year and a half during the virus, they went largely to online. We did not get any enjoyment with it. We like to be with the kids. We hardly ever talk when we're in class because they're the ones who are taking the test, and we sometimes know things, and actually we are called on by some teachers, like one of our teachers wanted to have us speak on World War II. Mm-hmm. And another one, the one I mentioned, Charlie Song, he had been on the Chinese polo team in one of the Olympics. He was lived in China and was Chinese and is Chinese. And so we... he wanted me to speak on, he knew that I'd been a baseball announcer, and right. he asked me to talk a little bit about it. Okay, that was back in 1948. I'm talking to kids in just like a year ago. I don't think they'd ever heard of Babe Ruth or Stan right. Musial or people right. like that. It was one of the most difficult speeches I think I've ever given, trying to identify with the audience or to have them enjoy what I was saying.
Do you think that history has taken a backseat to the, you know, just the sheer volume and onslaught of current information?
I think there's a lot of truth in that, Bob. I think that there are people who they're just different than we were. Now
it's an assault of the senses, really, right now.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad waiting for the paper to get to arrive, you know, on the front porch in the morning, because that was the news.
Yeah.
And the reason he needed to read the paper is because he hadn't seen the news since 6 p.m. the night before. So there was no other way to get news. I guess you get it from the radio, but, you know, you just didn't do that. The sources of news and information were very limited back then.
One of the things I just remembered that I wanted to say when I was talking about our daughter changing her major and everything, mm-hmm. And, of course, she groused and was very upset, but we stuck to it.
Right.
And today she enjoys telling the story
right.
and really complimenting us on making her buckle down and study. And so where a lot of parents would give in right. And say, oh, well, Mary Sue, we'll let her do whatever she wants to. We didn't do that. We were fair, and we were not pounding grades or anything. We just wanted her to get through.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that you and Sheila have made a pact a half a century, more. sorry, I was going to say
That's
decades.
A long time.
I went over a half century ago to one another about going to school, finishing school, because you all, your union started when you weren't graduates, correct?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's exactly right. When we met, we were both adults considerably, but we each had, for various reasons up to that point, not ever had any college to a degree, but we decided we wanted to, and so I got my bachelor's, and Sheila ended up working on her master's, a history major. And so the college and learning have always been very paramount to us.
Right, right. Okay, this is a nice setup here, because Charlie also provided me with the list of colleges and university that he personally has taken classes and or earned a degree from. Okay, and listen to this lineup. The University of Iowa, Northwestern in Chicago, of course, the University of California at Berkeley, Cal Berkeley, mm-hmm. Probably Northwestern and Cal Berkeley, arguably one of the 10 finest institutions of higher learning in this country. Creighton University,
Omaha.
Good Jesuit school in your hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. Let's see, I've got, what is that, University of the Pacific? Okay, let me jump to another one. Xavier University, another great Jesuit school in Cincinnati, Ohio. Familiar with that.
I also taught there.
Yeah.
And I went to graduate from the University of Cincinnati and taught there also.
Gosh. it's
when do you sleep?
I know. And you know, back to, you know, what we're really talking about today in the show is how much you can do, how much there is to do after you retire. And these 46 classes that you and Sheila have taken and completed, well, number 46 you haven't completed yet because you're in it right now.
Yeah.
But that has all taken place in the last 20 years since you moved into Azalea Trace. I think it's important to share with our listeners. We're going to pick up with Charlie right after the news.
Yes,
thanks.
And we have some questions coming in, so we'll do a little bit more here. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Hey, Mark Jacobs, what you got coming up?
Why, look at that. It's the sun.
Woohoo!
Florida sending help to Louisiana and Mississippi. Some details after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. American troops are out of Afghanistan after nearly 20 years of war and the largest civilian evacuation effort in U.S. history, more than 120,000 people in 17 days. There are some Americans still there, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby tells Fox.
There were a lot of efforts to try to contact them, try to get in touch with them, try to help marshal them in. Some people didn't want to make decisions until the end game.
Former President Trump wanted troops out of Afghanistan too, but says about how the operation was conducted.
Well, it should have been a positive, and it was a massive negative by anybody that has a brain and that reads 95% of even the media that you talk about. It's terrible.
He was on Fox Business. Florida's education department is withholding funding equal to school board members' salaries from two districts imposing mask mandates for coronavirus protection in schools. A Florida judge Friday ruled against Governor Ron DeSantis' order banning school mask mandates. America's listening to Fox.
10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. It's 80 and partly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Florida deploying resources to assist with Hurricane Ida recovery in Louisiana and Mississippi. Florida sending urban search and rescue task forces 1 and 2 to Mississippi. Also sending task force 4 along with 50 Florida National Guardsmen to Louisiana. The governor continues promoting the Regeneron monoclonal antibody treatment. He says there are 21 sites up and running in the state and more than 30,000 people have received it.
I absolutely think that had this been promoted better, I think you would have saved, kept a lot of people at the hospital. I think you'd have saved a lot of lives.
Governor says those who can best benefit from the treatment are those at risk for severe illness, but says getting it early is the key. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
A flash flood watch is in effect until 12 o'clock this afternoon as heavy bands associated with Ida will continue to push through today. We will be seeing plenty of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures a little bit cooler because of all of that rain, near 86 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
It's 80 in Pensacola and Milton, 82 in Gulf Breeze at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Apple is pledging $30 million to create expanded education programs for Black and Latino students. New projects include an innovation hub for Hispanic-serving institutions and programming for community colleges and historically Black colleges. It's all part of Apple's $100 million Racial Equity and Justice Initiative launched last year. Supply chain challenges have affected countries across the globe. Dollar Tree's CEO has the latest example. Michael Witinski says one of the company's cargo ships was delayed 2 months after a crew member tested positive for COVID. The boat was forced to return to Indonesia, switch crew, and then sail back to China. Catching a ride on apps like Uber or Lyft has gotten quite expensive in the last few years. The cost of a ride on a ride-sharing app has soared 92% since 2018. That's according to new data from Rakuten Intelligence. On Wall Street, stocks have been mixed throughout the day as investors look to close out what has been a winning August. The Dow Industrials are up 48 to 35,446. The S&P 500 has gained 1. That's Your Money Now.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can: colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the US, which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Okay. And I guess that's what you get when you let Jenna choose the music, right?
I thought you might like it.
We've given her full creative brain here.
But
I like it. It's very upbeat. It's a toe tapper, right?
Yes.
Do you like that song, Charlie?
I do.
Okay. See, yeah. I knew Mr.
Oh, you're doing
Charlie
it for Charlie.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I see how it works.
He's the guest of honor today.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
You got to reintroduce our listeners to him. This is incredible. Yeah. I'm back here just in awe.
I know. I know you've, we got to lift that jaw up off the floor, right?
Just I'm resting. Very impressed. I feel like
I
such a slacker.
I feel
to go do something.
I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness, and I don't feel. I mean, I'm certain of that. But if you're just tuning in, thank you. And we have on the show today with us Charlie Pritchett. And Charlie, we've been talking about all the things. Charlie's 95 years old. He has lived quite a life. He is, just incredibly fascinating, and instead of me talking about him, I want him to talk. But Charlie, you need to know that we've had lots of comments, text messages, mostly comments coming in saying thank you for your service. This man is fascinating. You may be on again, okay?
Yeah.
Or you may have a job here soon.
That would
so
be wonderful.
Anyway, we do have a question. We have a question from Daryl in Cantonment. And all right, how is the political environment different today compared to the past? Wow, I don't know where to begin. Or go ahead.
Yeah, that is the one to sort of step gingerly. But the thing is, it was a different world in the past. And
right.
When you start talking about the past, how far back is the past? And the course, by the way, that we're taking at UWF this semester has to do with great leaders. And what is a great leader? Hitler was a great leader. He
mm-hmm.
was a bad man,
yeah.
but he was a great leader. And you had Roosevelt, you had all these people. By the way, I wasn't always Charlie Pritchett. That was my name. That is my name. But the name I first used on radio was Craig Packard. I just always liked that name. And even today, occasionally if I go to a restaurant and want to make a a reservation. Craig Packard.
Wow. I kind of like it, too.
Yeah.
But I like Charlie Pritchett.
Well, then when I went to Omaha and the fellow says, the boss says, what's your name? I said, Charles Pritchett. You're using Craig Packard. Yeah, well, that's the name I like. He said, well, let's change your first name. Let's change it to Charlie with an EY on the end because that way it'll look good in ads.
Huh.
I said, okay, that's it. So I did. I used Charlie Packard for many years. And when our oldest daughter was born and went to school, she didn't know that her name wasn't Diane Packard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
so,
dad was, yeah.
yeah
so, dad was Charlie Packard.
So it is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, but to answer that question there, Bob, I think that with all of the forms of communication you have now, people get more information, some good, some bad, and you just have to sort of pick your way out and cross your fingers and hope you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Charlie Pritchett, such a, a reservoir of wisdom. And I just, there's so many, I've got my little list here of things. I've talked about all of the schools you've gone, and I'm talking about colleges and universities. the jobs you've held and the things you've done, you know, obviously your time in the service. The other thing I know that is that you actually, okay, you graduated from high school, 16 years old, 17, you enlist in the Navy. Mm-hmm. You go immediately to Alaska.
Well, when I graduated from high school, then that's when I went to Alaska.
Yeah.
And then when I didn't want to be drafted.
Right.
And where I went in Alaska was west of Juneau, about 30 minutes by plane, and that's when the United States was at war with the Japanese, and what we were building, or what the United States was building, and was using 3,500 of us to help do it, was to build a hospital in case there were casualties, and also a supply base. And so I was up there for 6 months and got back in time to enlist, and I wanted the Navy, and that's what I got.
Wow. Wow. Fascinating. Okay. Here's a question I have for you. All right. How did you and Sheila get to Pensacola?
Well, okay. When we were married, we lived in Cincinnati. As a matter of fact, we were in Cincinnati about 28 years. Pensacola, by the way, is the 25th town or city that I've lived in.
Wow.
And so we were in...
when are you moving? Is that the question?
No. We're staying here forever. We really, truly love Pensacola. We honestly do. We love being out at Azalea Trace. And we like the people. And this is our size town.
Right.
We've lived in San Francisco, Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, just to name a few of the ones. And so... Let me
name a few more.
Okay.
You know, you lived in several places in Iowa, Alaska, Chicago, Colorado Springs, Colorado, San Francisco, Berkeley, Modesto, California, Marshall Islands, Nebraska, of course, Cincinnati, you mentioned that, St. Louis, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Villanova, and also, I guess, for a brief time in Alabama. Okay, again, how did you get to Pensacola?
Well, when we finally started thinking about retiring, we were in a place called Eureka, California, which is about 75 miles south of the Oregon border and right on the Pacific Ocean. And I was a publisher of a couple of magazines out there. And we, by this time, decided we better start thinking about retiring. And so we decided to, just look all around. But at that time, we had a motorhome, and Motorhome Life had a story on Spanish Cove right across the water here.
Okay.
And so when our youngest daughter got married in North Carolina, I think it was, she was stationed there, we came on down here to see what it looked like down here. We liked it, but we thought, can we stand the heat? And so we decided to rent a house for a month, and we decided to do it in August, which is hot. Mm-hmm. And had no problem at all. We went back out to Eureka, sold it, and moved from one part of the United States clear to Pensacola. And we have never been sorry. We think that of the cities and places we've lived, if you said, well, where could you go and you'd be paid to go there, we'd say we want to stay right here.
That's
just that
great.
Simple.
And yeah, thank you for your
chamber
plug there. Yeah,
you know, if we've been here now since 1999, I think was when we moved here, and it's a great place.
Yes. Okay. The other thing that I know you and Sheila do, you attend a lot of functions around town, specifically at UWF, and I know you're a sports fan, and you and Sheila are fixtures at the, what is it, basketball games?
It's volleyball and men and women's basketball. We have the same two seats in the gym, and now people just know that those are our seats. They're right along. They're only just a few feet from the border of the the court.
Wow.
And we've gotten to know them real well, particularly the volleyball.
So the last 20-something years, you've attended these games? And
as long as we've lived here.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. You've just adopted the university completely.
Yeah, and it's... I don't know. We've gotten to know a lot of people, like Dave Scott, the athletic director, Dr. Saunders. When we got a nice note from her, because we had been there so long, and
right.
So it's a very, very good, university.
Right. You had mentioned something about aging. Okay, how to age? Some of the things you've. You and Sheila have embraced along the way. Share with our listeners some of the things that that are important to you.
That is it's kind of a tough question to answer, but I think that what means so much is to be able to do what you want to do, and I don't know, we seem to be centered around the university. Of course, Azalea Trace is just right next door. We can look out our window and see the baseball field.
Right.
We could watch the whole game there.
I see that big scoreboard.
Yeah. And so I think keeping busy, mm-hmm. and for the most part, people who have retired, at least the people out there, they're busy in so many committees and things like that. Most of the people out there, there are some great people and some with great backgrounds, I'm telling you, that it's fun just to talk with those people. So I don't know how you can put any one thing, but the main thing is to keep busy. And this is the thing, as a matter of fact, the Today Show had us on last December, December 26th to be exact. And they came out here and interviewed us and took all sorts of shots and all that kind of stuff. Because what they wanted people to realize is here you have two, I almost said old, elderly.
Let's be politically correct.
Yeah.
But you're talking about yourself.
Yes. But here you have two elderly people, mm-hmm. and that they're not just sitting home and rocking,
right.
but they're going. And I think one of the reasons that people don't go, and they shouldn't ever worry about this, the older people are afraid they will be embarrassed when they go into these classes with all of these young kids. That is definitely not true. I cannot tell you how interesting the people are. And they don't really fawn over us, but generally by the time a semester is over, there are a few that have asked, because we're so old, they ask us about this and they ask us about that.
Yeah.
And so... I think that you just have to figure out what you like to do. It could be whittling far as that goes.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I've learned along the way is there's so much to learn from folks like yourself. I have the good fortune, you know, for the last 45 minutes and another 15 minutes in front of us, you know, to spend time with you and learn from you. I also have the good fortune in my job to work with a lot of people that are retired, and it's fascinating. And whether you're working with people or if you're interacting with people that have retired or you know are elderly, there's just so much to learn. And it's just been very eye-opening, you know, to spend time with you and learn of everything you're doing and continuing to do, both you and Sheila, to this day at age 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I can't really understand why more people don't. And even right at Azalea Trace, I guess I don't know how many people are there. I'm just saying 500 or 600 anyway.
Right.
Only one other person has taken any courses up at the university.
And go into the program, because I don't think, I think a lot of our listeners might be unfamiliar with it, but it's called the Florida Audit?
Senior Audit.
Senior Audit.
Senior Audit Program. It's in the state of Florida, and there are, I've heard, two or three other states that have the same thing. If you're 60 years of age and you're a citizen of the state of Florida, you can go free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't get any credits, but that's all right.
Yeah.
And so the thing to do is to contact the registrar's office at the University of West Florida and just tell them that you'd like to know about the senior audit program, because you have a mother who is that age, or a father that age. And as a matter of fact, that is one of the things that the our classmates talk about when they know how old we are. And I always mention that. As a matter of fact, the first time I did several years ago, and they were asking the first night of class, tell us a little bit about yourself. So when it came to me, I said, well, it's obvious I'm a little older than all of you. And I said, as a matter of fact, in 6 years, I'll be 100. Well, their mouths dropped open, and then they started to laugh. And so, but the main thing, call the registrar, ask for more information. And then what you have to do eventually is you have to pick the course. But we only get courses that there are openings, because the paid customers, they deserve to get the rest.
You know, telling people I'm almost 96 sounds so much younger than, you know, and, you know, than I'm almost 100.
That's why I used the why I'm almost 100.
Well, as I mentioned to you, and I'm no expert on this, you are. I ought to have you come in and teach these courses. But we teach a course on aging and how to age and just some tips. And this is, you know, this is from professionals and certainly studies, but keeping the mind active is huge. Certainly keeping active physically. I think some of the other qualities or other common traits among folks that, you know, appeared or that seem to live a long time are remaining close to family, having a having a good diet, having a routine every day. Things that are just terribly, terribly important as you age. And, you know, let's see, you've got 30 plus years of how to age after retirement.
Yeah, I guess so. I hadn't really thought that, that we've been retired that long, but we have. Yeah. And that's the nice part. And I was just thinking, as you were saying all this, Bob, was that during the virus, which of course we're still in, but we so missed going over to the university, because we go to all of the events, not just the sporting events, although we try to get to almost all of those, but music and plays and everything else. And we sort of felt hollow for about the past year and a half.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when you were saying that. I'm thinking about all of the students, okay, that are having to go to online learning, okay? They're thrilled, right? But not you and Sheila.
No.
You enjoy the interaction, the person. Yeah.
And a lot of them are the same way. Sure, it sounds great when you're a student to use online, because you can stay home. You don't even need to dress.
Right.
Well, I think that they have found that the students miss that, because it's a very important part of a student's life to go from high school to 4 years of college. They're free for the first time, and they make all sorts of mistakes and all of that, maybe have a drink or two now and then, and all of those things. But now, when they can stay in their rooms and just do everything, they could be 100 miles away from the campus and do it, and they're missing something. So I know that they, and we could feel this just starting back the other day, that they want to be around on campus and see their friends and things like that.
I wonder if any of your classmates ask you and Sheila, what's the next class you're taking? Because I want to take it with you, so I can.
Well, we're the quiet couple.
Yeah, we truly
are.
Okay. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that you don't want to take time away from the you don't want to. you know, have the helium hand, you know, that goes up all the time asking questions because the other folks are taking it for a grade.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You all are auditing it.
Yeah.
I wanted to come back to assisted living. You shared with me some time ago that back in the 1990s, you and Sheila made a conscious decision to seek out a place, a retirement community. You chose Azalea Trace, and that's terrific. We're glad to have you in the Pensacola community. But you said that the reason you did that was you had read that in terms of longevity, folks live on average an extra 5 years.
At that time,
okay,
it was 5 years. And then later, and that was probably 15 years ago that I heard that, maybe even 20. It's quite a while. But I mentioned that to somebody within the last 3 or 4 years, and they said, yes, it was statistically 5 years, but now they have followed up on that, and now it's 7 years, that you will live 7 years longer if you're in a facility like Azalea Trace.
And I remember I asked you, why do you think that is? And your comments were very interesting. Share that with me.
Well, you have nothing to you've got everything there that you want. You've got a bed over, and you've got a roof over your head, and you've got friends, and you've got good food, and you've got everything. And so there's nothing to worry about other than paying your dues each month.
No stress.
No stress
whatsoever.
All.
I think about that, and I've been, you know, we have clients, you know, yourself included, at Azalea Trace, and I go out there and I'm like, I want to live here. I used to tell people the best salad bar in town is at Azalea Trace.
Yeah. And it, they had to close that when the
COVID.
Come.
Yeah. Exactly. A lot of them did that.
And now, even as recently as just the other day, they're talking about opening that salad bar again. So it's pretty tough, though.
Yeah, that's good news for everyone, especially at Azalea Trace and folks like me that get to visit there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now I told you I've got a few surprise questions, okay? And I want to see how you answer these. The show's winding down. Again, I have Charlie Pritchett here. Charlie's 95 years old and has done everything. If you're just tuning in, I'm sorry you missed the first 55 minutes of the program, but fascinating man. Okay, we talked about you writing a book, and you have put together your memoirs. Is this going to be published?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I have I gave individual copies to each of the children.
Okay.
So that I wanted them to know what their parents were like.
Well, you might need to share it with me too if it's not too personal.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
All right. Okay. What one piece of advice would you give to others who have retired?
Well, if physically able and financially able, it's to keep active, no matter what it is. You sometimes have to look.
Yeah, in both mind, body,
and
spirit, you know. Okay. Now, I can't believe I'm asking this question, but I am going to ask it. And, you know, a man as accomplished as you that has done everything, what is your greatest regret?
My greatest regret, and the dentists will hate me for this, but was I had 13 teeth capped a number of years ago, and so I would have a good bite. Well, I won't take all the time to tell you what happens other than when you have caps put on your teeth, eventually, with the passage of time, the decay starts, then root canal comes along, and then more caps. And I've spent, I don't want to say a fortune, but I spent a lot of money just to try to keep teeth in my mouth. And that really, truly is the one thing that I think about often.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
really
your
good.
Greatest regret is getting your teeth capped.
I had
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I had great teeth. My my grandfather never had a cavity until he was, I think, about 90, and then a horseshoe nail hit him in the tooth. he was a blacksmith.
Yeah, but Charlie, you're 95 years old. Come on, those teeth have been good to you.
Well, that's what I tell the dentist. I say, I don't want you doing any fancy things there. Okay.
You don't want them touching your teeth.
Just keep me so I can chew.
Okay. Are you with the same dentist?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah. Well,
Bald Biggs. There you go.
No, Bald Biggs. He's a great dentist.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious. Okay. That's awesome. Listen, we are winding down. It has been a thrill. It has been an honor. It has been, again, my good fortune to interview you today. Please come back, okay?
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it, too.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Pritchett. Thank you. Bob, great show. One of my favorite guests we've ever had. We're going to podcast this for you in just a few moments so you can find it on newsradio923.com. Look for Pensacola Expert Panel and then Winning with Mainstay Financial. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we got the Grits Girls in studio at 9 a.m. We're going to talk some yummy, delicious food.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM.